Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 405. Chris Cuomo joins us now. You can watch Chris weekday, 7 p.m. St. Louis time on News Nation. Chris, good to talk to you, my friend.
Foo Fighters, brother. I love that girl. I read his biography. Really, really interesting.
He's a really interesting guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's almost kind of Forrest Gumpy, and I don't mean that in any derisive way, but, you know, he just loved music.
Yep.
No formal training. He didn't have the money from it. He didn't come from that. He seems like a totally sophisticated and polished guy, but, you know, he came up on his own, figuring it out, playing on his pillows, a drummer, and, you know, obviously Nirvana, you know, wound up being his big break, but he's a punk rocker and a disco guy, and I just love all the success he's had and all the cultural cachet he has because he's earned it.
Anyway. I completely agree. So, you know, we talk about this. We're similar ages. I'm a musician. My dad, I was 4 years old. I was the last kid in North America to have the mumps. And my dad brought me Meet the Beatles, the first Beatles album when I was 4 years old. I still remember the hiss of the hi-fi, and then it broke into the first Beatles song, and that was just it for me. Just lifelong fan. Wheels here is a big metal guy, Slipknot, the whole bit.
Yeah.
Where's your wheelhouse for music?
Pretty eclectic. I really wanted to be a drummer. I was obsessed with Neil Peart when I was coming up, the professor. But I was really kind of sucky. You know, I mean, I was an okay, maybe Ringo Starr kind of, you know, basic beat drummer. You know, I took some syncopation lessons, but, you know, I was trying to get with a band. I got beat out by another guy. And then I got moved up to Albany and put in military school. So it was just me and my drums and I was alone. But musically, I love hard rock from 60s and 70s. Before that, you kind of lose me. I like revolutionary rock. I like hearing what came out of the 60s. I was kind of upset that there wasn't more music of that kind of genre type determination during the last few years that we've had culturally. But I also love old rap. I come from Queens and, you know, the home of Run DMC, you know, the birthplace of so many of the masters. And, you know, Chuck D from Public Enemy, Big Daddy Kane, Tribe Called Quest, you know, KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions. You know, these kind of urban poets who told the truth about their lives were really impactful for me. But, you know, in truth, I'm one of those people, I think there's a word for it, I just don't know it because it's larger than the word mayonnaise, and that's pretty much my limit in letters. But there's a word for somebody who music is something that really affects them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people. Like, a song can completely change my mood.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty open. There's very little I don't like, except that the way a lot of country folk feel about rap, which is they all sound alike, I feel like that about country.
So I'm the same. Music has been such a big thing in my life. And so my daughter Phoebe is 17. She's going away to KU in the fall. And of course, she's like the center of my universe. And I don't know if you remember the artist Nick Kershaw, who had that "Wouldn't It Be Good to Be in Your Shoes?" And he has a beautiful, beautiful song. I think of the name of it, but it's a gorgeous song he wrote for his son. And it's, you know, just so heartfelt. And I was listening to it. And Chris, when I tell you I was bawling, I mean, like, embarrassingly so, sobbing. And I texted it to her, and I'm like, this one always kills me. And the next time we saw each other, I'm like, did you listen? She goes, I listened to like the first 10 seconds. And I'm like, oh my, like to me, like she was going to be sobbing and rolling around on the floor. And I love my dad so much. And she's like, yeah, 10 seconds in, it lost me. I'm like, oh, crap.
Listen, baby. That love is a one-way road, man.
word, bro.
That is a one-way road. But I do dig it, though, when our oldest is so crazy talented. She's going to be 20. She's in her second year of college. She can sing. She can, you know, musical theater, piano, guitar. Like, she's the real deal. And I love when she loves older music. So every once in a while, we'll have like a car karaoke sing-off with like the Killers or Billy Joel. And it's just a ton of fun. And it's a great connective tissue to have with your kids. And I think our generation is a little better off than our parents were in terms of not understanding the music, yeah, not understanding the culture. You know, like vaping isn't that weird, you know, for me to kind of like figure out like why it's enticing.
Yeah.
So. Quite the journey, brother.
It's funny. My son's 28, and his mom and I divorced when he was about 2.5. Great relationship. But I remember picking him up for school when he was probably first grade. And he goes, look, mom gave me a CD, and it was NSYNC. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I swear to God, I go, we're going to start with Back in Black by AC/DC.
There you go.
Because it was like a contest. Like he'd been given a disease, and I had to cure him or something.
Did you guys know, by the way, today is the first day in history that the Beatles charted in the United States.
Wow.
January 18th, 1964. You know the song?
I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Yep. Yeah. Nailed it.
Well done. I'm not a Beatles guy. I respect them. I loved watching that documentary that was on whatever streaming service I saw it, like 28 hours of just watching them make their last album. I loved it. So much respect for them, but I was never, you know, Beatlemania didn't hit me.
So I have to follow up on something you said. I'm a small town kid. I've never known anyone who went to military school. I've only seen it in movies. What was that like?
So I'm not talking Lords of Discipline, you know.
it's not
it
taps.
It was a day school called the Albany Academy. We had to dress like mailmen. We had to march a couple of days a week. There was a militaristic structure to it. You got rank. You got put into companies. You know, for the first bit when I was there, they still had infield rifle training, but that went away. But you had to march all the time. They had these marching competitions, but it wasn't like sports of discipline. Nobody was beating me with soap, but it was a little, hyper male. And I am much more in favor of all girls education than all boys. Cause I think that, females don't need as much training in civility as males do. I think males tend to be more of the problems that we have in terms of, you know, intersex kind of, you know, communication. So that was a little weird. But, you know, that's what I got for screwing around. My father first got elected and I kept getting in all these fights. And my brother got spooked that I was not handling it right. So they put me into a place that they thought would help me handle it better.
Were they right? Were you heading down the wrong path?
All it did was make me hate authority. I have a real problem with other people telling me how things have to be. And, you know, look, I don't know. You know, I always hear people say, you know, everything in my life has led me to this moment. Yeah, of course it has. But that doesn't mean you don't want to change 90% of it. You know, I remember once one of the things that got my wife more upset than, you know, general when I opened my mouth is people like, well, of course you would never want to change anything because, like, you know, then you wouldn't have your kids and stuff like that. I'm like, listen, man, you got to let the pieces fall where they may. I'm just saying, if you're asking me, do I wish I could have a redo? The answer is absolutely yes. The idea that, like, oh, but then you wouldn't be where you are. Yeah, but to me, it's not about where you are, it's how you feel about where you are and what you're about and what you want to do. And, you know, I could have definitely taken a pass on going to that school. And still been just fine in life. But it did put into me something that serves me well in this, is I just have a fundamental skepticism of people who are telling me how to do things. I don't think they're lying. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're incompetent. I just believe that everything requires an explanation. Everything. And that is not going to be well met in a military environment.
So if young Chris Cuomo got caught at something, would you rather have to face your dad or your mom?
I'd rather face either of them than my brother. You know, my pop could be hot, but, you know, he was so committed to his public service, which really started with me. I'm much younger than my siblings. I'm 16 years younger than my oldest sibling. Wow. I never lived with my oldest sibling.
Yeah.
Because she's so much older. You know, I mean, I did when I'm saying I don't remember it, you know.
Yeah.
Andrew's 13 years older, you know, and then the next two sisters are like 8 and 6 years older. So he didn't really get into politics until, you know, that was only my childhood. Everybody else had grown up without that. So he was like gone most of the time. And he was, you know, hot guy, you know, intense guy, very strict guy. But Andrew really raised me with my sisters because he was there. You know, Andrew was like the man of the house when he was 11. So, you know, so that was always, and to this day, you know, a little bit insight into, you know, why it's like so nonsensical to me when people even question what to do if someone in their family's in trouble. It's never even been, I've never had a second thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, he's all I have. He's been there for me my entire life.
So he wasn't playing back when you were a kid, huh?
No, man, he's never been a kid, by the way. That Andrew, like, my mother used to tell a joke that when he was born, he came out and he said, "Where are my pants?" You know, he has been an adult forever, you know? He's super intense, super alpha, super smart. There's a right way to do things, and if you know what that right way is and you don't do it, you've got a problem.
How's he doing? How's he doing just as a guy, if you don't mind me asking?
Listen, I think anybody who's around him will give a different answer. I think they'd say, well, you know, he's pretty good, man. I think he's going to get back into it. I think he's going to run again. I think he's, you know, he's got a lot of ideas. He wants to do different things. He's starting this gun thing. He's starting this other thing. He's doing this podcast. You know, he's like changing the fortunes of this pod company he's working with. I don't see it that way. I cannot believe that he is not in the fetal position. You know, this was some of the most intense, acidic, you know, malignant attack of a public figure that I've ever seen. And I know that, like, I'm barely not looking over my shoulder every 2 seconds. I am constantly dealing with being able to not be anxious, you know, which is a fear of an unspecific thing. Like, I'm constantly worried because there is no threshold. We are in a society where, and some people say, oh, it's kind of changing. Well, I don't know. I don't know how much it's changing for the better in terms of an allegation gets you 80% of the way there, especially if it's a woman against a man. And, you know, it's just a really spooky environment. And the worst part is that I'm totally with it. Like, I totally believe where Me Too culture was coming from, and there are generations of women who were afraid to say anything about what happened in their professional lives because they'd be fired. Nobody would listen to them. I totally get it. I also think the correction was crazy. And I don't know how much of a good service it left us with in terms of how much of a better position we're in now for women actually being able to be respected for the right reasons and treated the right reasons. I mean, look, I can't tell you how many people I've had to slow down by saying, yeah, you got to be careful about hiring women right now because you just don't. I'm like, give me a break, man. What are you, a caveman? You know, and they're like, oh, look what happened to you, bro. I'm like, listen, that's politics, okay? That's a different world. You know, don't be like that. Just do things the right way, and it's fine. That's not an easy perspective to have when I've lived through what I've lived through, but I think it is the right one. But for him to survive it the way he has, I can't believe it because, you know, I just got a paper cut compared to him, and it's really hard. I mean, it's totally changed how I see everything and what I expect about everything.
I really respect and I really appreciate your candor, Chris. Like that, I really, really do. I mean, you're doing a radio show in St. Louis and answering personal questions about your family. I'm very impressed.
Look, there are no secrets. You know, I mean, this is the life I chose. I didn't expect this to happen. I wish it was one of those situations in my life where I could say, well, I'll never do that again. Lesson learned. I mean, that just, it doesn't work like that for me. You know, yesterday, a buddy of mine who I consider a brother, you know, he had a little event, little cardiac event. I mean, I'm on that 24/7, which, where is he? What hospital? What can we do? Who do we know? Are we on it? How's his wife? You know, how's his oldest daughter, his youngest daughter taking it? What can we do? Is this the right person? You know, I mean, that's all I have are my people. And I know that that's not unique. I know a lot of you feel the same way about it. So, but I'm also, I made a decision to make myself public. I mean, you know, you did too, to a lesser extent. You know, radio doesn't expose you the same way television does. But, you know, and yet I don't think it's so fair that, like, I have to take every beating. I think it's a weird culture. I really do. But I've decided that on balance, it was worth coming back because I believe in the amount of help that you can do. And I believe in the power of the platform.
Yeah.
So I came back and, you know, I just believe it's worth it, but it's not easy, man. Yeah. It's really such a tough place right now.
I'm personally glad you're back and very appreciative of doing these weekly hits with us. Chris Cuomo, Cuomo Tonight, News Nation, 7 p.m. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great show tonight, Chris.
I got your boy O'Reilly on tonight.
Yeah, he is my boy.
With he's swinging the axe that has Mexico stinks written on it. And my response is, yeah, you really think things are going to get better if they never want to do anything with us? You really think things are going to turn out better on the border if they hate us too?
We'll be watching. Really? Thank you, Chris.
All right, brothers. Be well.
All right, pal. Talk to you next week. That was really something, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah. We're making news today.
Yeah, look at that. I'm
telling you what.
Talking to the mayor.
Michael Calhoun didn't put that in the next newscast. He's not doing his job.
I'll get the mayor back on, and we'll ask her what she thinks about that.
Ooh. No, I really, like, I mean what I said. Like, that's tough, being that open. And it's weird talking to Chris Cuomo, because we do the same thing, but he's obviously bigger deal than me. But talking to Chris Cuomo about his brother, who everyone knows, if you didn't know him before COVID, you know him now, and hearing the ins and outs, and everyone thinks he's doing great, I don't think he's doing so great. It's like,
yeah.
Kind of crazy. You want to hear something crazy about the diversity of life on this planet?
Yes.
Currently, there are an estimated 5 million species. Species. Like, there are trillions of beetles, and my understanding is there are thousands of different kinds of beetles, but that's just one species. Mm-hmm. 5 million species on the planet right now. 99% of the species that have ever lived on the planet are extinct.
Mm-hmm.
So the 5 million that we have now, the diversity of life, is only 1% of the species who have ever lived on the planet. That's crazy.
That is mind-blowing. Like, that's a number you just, can I even comprehend that?
I always think it must have just been wild back in, like, I'd say dinosaur times and sound like a five-year-old, but dinosaur times,
it was really crazy.
It must have been wild. Like, everything's like a primordial forest.
You're so adorable.
Man, it must have been crazy when those dinosaurs were hanging around. Dang.
You could say the smartest thing that's ever been said, and you can't come.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back from dinosaur times. Welcome back, guys. DGS 438. Happy Wednesday to you. Matt Pauly's here with us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Did you know that a professional baseball player can stand at home plate and throw the ball into the stands? I did not know that.
What, without, like, any ramifications to it?
No, just, like, capable. Physically capable of doing it, like, say, pregame or whatever.
From where? Throw it from home plate to where?
Into the stands, outfield.
In the outfield? Yeah, Trevor Bauer did that. It's a little bit further, but, like, 3-4 years ago, he got pulled out of a game when he was with Cincinnati. No, mm-hmm. it was Cleveland.
Yep.
And he was really upset that he got pulled out of the game, so he took the baseball and he chucked it to center field, and it made it out.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Maybe we should have known something about Trevor Bauer at that point.
The two most impressive athletic things I've ever seen. One was going to Rams practice and seeing the defensive backs run faster backwards than I've ever ran forwards. They looked like Transformers. And the PGA. I'm not a big golfer, but when I went to see the guys, and you're like 10 feet away and you see what they do, it's like, that's impossible.
You know, something I tell people a lot, and unfortunately in St. Louis, we don't have an NBA team, so it's harder to do this. But, you know, people talk sometimes about college basketball. Some of these college guys could, teams could play with NBA teams. And one of the things I always tell people is get to an NBA game the moment the doors open and go watch as guys just shoot. And you're going to see the 12th guy on the roster, the guy who plays 2 minutes every month, never gets into the game, and he's not going to miss a single shot during warmups. Like,
we
people
about
don't
this
realize
this
how good these guys are.
Yeah,
that guy scores 40 a night in a college game.
I forgot who it was. We were playing fantasy back when we were real into that on the show, and Bolger was on in our league, I forget who it was, like a Joe Mixon kind of guy who just, like, he was third string and someone got hurt and he was first string and he was killing it. And Mark goes, that's a dirty little secret of the NFL. He's like, any third string running back is probably within 2% of the starting running back and maybe better. And you don't know that until you get the reps. But that kind of blew me away.
Yeah. There are things that are variables, like can they pick up the blitz? Do they run good routes? Can they catch the ball out of the backfield? But sheer running ability, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
100%, which is why a lot of teams will not draft a running back in the first two or three rounds of the draft. They just the guy they can get in the fourth, fifth, sixth round is as good as the guy they can get in the second round.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you single-handedly keep Mark Bulger relevant in the same
way. I know, right? Yeah.
He was good, man. He was really good. And he's he was an example. He wasn't a super highly regarded guy coming out of college. But he knew he was, you know, he's a good college player, but he wasn't like, you know, first round draft pick, let's take this guy in the top 10 kind of guy, and turned out to be damn good.
Mark is a very quiet and very humble. But I got him to talk sometimes. I'm like, what are you really good at? And the most he'd ever say is, I can put the ball where I want.
Yeah.
And I remember Mike Mart said that. He said, had he been given his head with Mark and more time, that he would have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's a big statement.
Yeah.
I remember he was the MVP of a bowl game that his team lost.
Yeah, he threw for like 450 yards or something.
Yeah.
I have his shoes.
Nice.
From that game.
Wow.
Sweet.
Now this is getting sickening now. And I'm wearing them.
Wow, look at that.
That's
right. Tell us about the movie thing.
All right, so you guys know how, like, everybody has their own, like, fans come up with theories about classic movies, modern movies that don't really fit into the plot, but they think that this makes sense when you explain the bigger picture of the movie. So as an example, you guys, I'm guessing, have heard the Titanic fan theory that Jack was not real.
No, but they're talking about the door.
No, that he was all a figment of Kate Winslet's imagination because she hated being on the boat. She hated the way her life was in society, and that this was a creation in her mind, like that one.
So it doesn't check out like Shutter Island, where you go back and watch it, and it's like no one ever saw Jack but her.
Right.
It's just that she dreamt that whole thing up.
That's the idea, and they do mention. I mean, I think I haven't seen the movie in a long time, but I do think other people interacted with Jack. So I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm down with this one, but that's kind of the example of.
I mean, who
what
drew
we're talking
the picture?
About? What's that?
Who drew the picture? You know what I mean?
She could have drawn it herself.
That's hot.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that's a fan theory. Another one is that
that you're mad about this.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care at all. This one is interesting because I would actually care about this movie. I hated Titanic, so this one I loved.
Titanic.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I've never seen it.
Really? Good. Don't. you know how it ends. I saw The Dark Knight. That is one of my favorites. And one of the fan theories is that the Joker is actually a retired special ops soldier who has severe PTSD, and this is just him acting out, and that's why he's an expert in guns and explosives, and he knows how to get all of these things done, knows how to take out the other gangsters just with his bare hands and a pencil.
Here's where that...
Or he's just a crazy guy.
But, I mean, that's a lot of skill, right? I mean, like, that's not just something, well, I'm crazy and I can do this stuff. I mean, you have to have been taught that at some point.
That theory doesn't hold up because his prints would be somewhere and the government would know. And as soon
he's always wearing gloves in this, though. But the Joker never barehanded.
Just like Mickey Mouse.
But right?
What if Mickey Mouse was spec ops?
They get him for a little bit. He's in jail, so they would have pulled prints at that point.
Yeah, you're right. He was in jail.
Yeah, he was in jail.
But so even so.
I killed three men with one bullet hole.
How long was he even in there?
When they booked him, they're going to get his prints.
Sure, but they didn't do the DNA and all that in time. I mean,
I think they even say his prints
aren't
in the system.
You think the special ops guys got their fingerprints in the police database?
I haven't been as angry as Wheeler is right now in 10 years.
The other day I said something to Kevin and I was like, I said, some people argue just to win. And he goes, I do that sometimes. And I can tell he's doing that right now. Yeah. He's just trying to win.
He doesn't even believe it.
Oh, that's true. I absolutely said that to Rachel. And it is also absolutely true. It is absolutely
true. He's way too heated over this.
All right, how about this one?
You could have said the opposite. You could have been like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's clearly he was special ops. You'd be like, oh, that's just stupid.
Wait, no, I just wrote that theory. That's why I'm defensive about it.
I like that, though.
Here's another one, Blair Witch Project fan theory, that this wasn't about a haunting. This was a murder plot, and the two guys were just trying to find cover to kill the girl.
Oh, I like that one.
You know how, like, when she, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Blair Witch, it's been out for a while. But you know when she goes down into the basement and the dude's just standing there in the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the points that fuels the theory. That it was never really about that. It was these two guys trying to commit a murder.
See, that's feasible.
I don't see
anything on that one that you can for sure say no, where your Dark Knight one is totally
the guy in the corner is the Joker.
How about the fan theory that John Wick is Neo if he had taken the blue pill?
Oh.
I do not believe this one.
Andrew.
But it was a fun...
Fan theories are so stupid.
No, they're all so dumb. They're all dumb. Like, none of these have been confirmed by anybody that made the movies.
Why can't he just be a cool guy who shoots people? Why do we got to do this with him?
It's in the Matrix universe.
I like Marvel movies, but this is what they've done to the world. This is what they've done to the collective pop culture conscience. Everything has to be connected now.
Let's go back to Titanic. Fan theory that Leonardo DiCaprio's character is the same one in Titanic, Inception, and Shutter Island. That they're all connected somehow.
I mean, you have to link it for me.
Yeah.
Didn't he die when he was 15 in Titanic?
So, in Titanic, obviously, he goes under the water, right? In Shutter Island, he washes up on a beach. And then he hallucinates Inception due to brain damage. I don't buy this one at all.
I washed up on this beach 40 years older.
I'll do this in 5 seconds because I know we got to go. Another one is that Donnie is not real in The Big Lebowski. He is a figment of Walter's imagination, a buddy that died in Nam. And it's like the only guy that he ever... Donnie only interacts with Walter, basically, in the movie is what the theory is.
It's pretty good.
I got to go back and watch it to see if that's true.
452 DGS... Things you're maybe should be embarrassed of, but you're not.
Well, not necessarily. Well, you know how you're in like elementary school and middle school and you're so worried of doing something dorky that you're like afraid to breathe the wrong way?
Sure.
I am like the opposite of that now. Like I still get self-conscious and stuff, but in general, like if I want to do something, I'm just going to do it. I think that's just one of the benefits of getting into your 30s and starting to give less of a heck about things. Wow, that sounded dorky, but that's okay.
This is what we're talking about.
That's
okay.
Exactly what we're talking
that's
about.
Embarrassing.
You need to worry when Amy Mark scores has been 10 times dirtier than you during a show.
Holy moly.
But I thought of this the other day because I'm kind of like obsessive about my plastic bags that I get from Schnucks and Target and stuff. I don't like the thought of those just like floating away or just being thrown into a landfill. I try to recycle them by using them over and over again. So I bring my lunch every day in a plastic bag. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this about me, but I just take it and I put it back into my work bag. And I've had the thought before of like, I wonder if they think I'm weird. Oh, well, I don't care. I'm going to keep doing this because it makes me feel good. I'm just wondering if you guys have anything similar to that, where it's like, people probably are judging me for this or thinking it's a little strange, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it anyway.
Bags are worth gold, by the way. My drawer is filled with bags that I've brought in
bag hoarder.
You need to have them. What if you need to carry several things?
Exactly. They're very valuable.
I feel like that's just basically my existence.
That's Kevin's life.
Like everything. I play video games, dress like a 15-year-old. I don't care.
I mean, like, my go-to thing is always, whether I go to Outback Steakhouse, Annie Gunn's, Capital Grill, I'm having ketchup with my steak.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Screw off.
Forget what anybody thinks.
I don't care.
Yep.
That's a big one for me, too. I'll special order the food the way that I want it, even if it's, like, maybe a little childish.
But I struggle with a little bit. I will go to Schnucks not looking my best. but I really want to go looking stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.